Author A.J. Jacobs got an unsolicited note in the email from somebody who said he's on a kibbutz in Israel. He's a dairy farmer. He said, I think we're connected. Jacobs' family's from Israel. He's Jewish. His wife is too. He says, well, maybe there's something to this, but maybe he wants me to transfer money to an account in Africa. I don't know if this guy's legit. Turns out he was. And he said, I've traced our family tree. And guess how many people are on our family tree? 80,000. And the guy said that if you connect this family tree to other family trees, which people do now, you have a world family tree, and that has millions and millions of names on it. And that it's possible that at some point, the whole globe will know its shared ancestry. In fact, Jacob says, we're all cousins. And as only A.J. Jacobs can, he then says, I know, let's have a family reunion and invite everybody, because we're all cousins. And so it becomes sort of a family reunion meets TED conference about, or a TED event where it's all about genealogy, which he says is the second most searched thing on the internet. You know what number one is. And look at the people that I see in his book are holding up signs saying, I'm a cousin too. I'm a cousin. I'm a cousin. Ricky Gervais, Olivia Munn, Nick Offerman, John Legend, Dr. Oz, Olivia Wilde. And the list goes on. Jason Sudeikis, Penn Jillette, Christina Hendricks. If I had to pick a cousin, I'd pick Christina. AJ, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you?
I am good. So great to be back. Thank you, Cousin John, for having me.
I guess we're related. What are you talking to us on? You've got a microphone wired into your phone there, right?
I do. This is, I was told, the best. We tried another one, so I'm sorry. You have to forgive me. As a family member, cut me a little slack on the audio. I apologize.
Twice you've used that already. So what's, do I have your thesis right? That, I mean, and you do that a lot. You go, well, I've got to give the guy a break. He's a cousin. Or you've got to give me a break. We're related.
Exactly.
So is my description of your entry into this topic of genealogy correct?
That's absolutely correct. And by the way, I looked it up before you called, and there are about 433 John Williamses on the global family tree. So I'm sure you're one of those, but I'm not sure which. We'll have to talk after.
No, it's so nice of you to do that.
Sure. Listen, anything. I won't play the cousin card again.
There you go. There, you're about to.
I was so close. But yeah, this idea that we're all one big family, which we had been told when we were kids, I loved it. It's such a simple idea, but it's now that we can see it technically and concretely, it just blows my mind. It's like the ultimate social network to me. It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. So some of them are a little ridiculous. Like, this is my literal connection to Barack Obama. He is my fifth great aunt. Husband's brother's wife's seventh great nephew. So very close, practically brothers. But you can do this with almost anyone on earth. And the big hope is that when people hear that they are related, that they will treat each other just a little bit more kindly, or at least less horribly. So that's the big picture.
So was your idea, though, to get people that you could demonstrate were on your family tree, that they were X number of links away, or were you just interested in any member of humanity coming to your family reunion?
Well, all 7 billion members were invited. But once you are there and give us a little information, thanks to these tools, thanks to these massive family trees and DNA testing, you can actually figure out how you're connected to pretty much everyone on Earth. So the idea was, come and we'll figure out how you're family.
I've not been one to be interested in this sort of thing in the past, and I know you're not interested in trees and charts per se, but I found myself for the first time in my life getting interested in my family history a little bit the way you did. And that is, I'm interested in the stories. All I know, and I know so very little about my family, but I know that they're from a certain part of Europe and that my grandfather was a tailor in Pena, Illinois, but I don't know much more. But if I knew something specific, like my great-great-grandfather did this, and this is how he met my great-great-grandmother, and it's a sweet story, if we flesh them out, then I think I would be kind of curious. And that's what you discovered, right?
Well, that's it. I love the stories, and I can hook you up with some people, including one of my favorites, a guy who has a company called Black Sheep Genealogy, and he'll go to these conventions, and he dresses up in a prison outfit with the black and white stripes, and his whole specialty is to find the horrible people in your family tree, the rotten apples. And there is some sort of, it's like a badge of honor to have someone. And I've got a couple. I mean, I know Al Capone. I've got, I did get a guy who shot his partner at a pharmacy. So that was exciting. But yeah, to me, it's all about the stories, the bad, the good, just to show what the family has been through and just have a little appreciation that we've all got great relatives and we've all got horrible relatives. We've all got royalty, and all these people who say, oh, I'm a direct descendant of King Henry VIII. Listen, everyone, and if you go back far enough, has royalty. It's just a statistical truth. So that can make us feel better. We're all royal.
Well, you take this back every conceivable way, not just to royalty, but back to Neanderthal men and Homo sapiens and how they intermingled and then one branch dies off and one strain survives. And literally all of humanity today could probably trace their lineage back to a couple of ape-like creatures, human-like creatures, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. And then you could go back further than that and say, where did that animal come from? Well, it evolved from a less sophisticated creature all the way back to a single cell that divided on a vent in the ocean millions and millions of years ago. I mean, you drew up a tree like that for your family, didn't you?
Exactly. I mean, we all have the same 1.2 billion great-grandpa or grandma. I don't want to stereotype the gender, but and it is. It's just a little like bacterium, and it lived near a volcano vent in the ocean. But we know it's the grandparent of everything on Earth. You, me, Donald Trump, Miley Cyrus, but also ferns and hedgehogs and everyone on every living thing because of the pattern of the DNA. And then if you go further up, we all do descend from an Adam and Eve. It wasn't the one, I don't believe, the literal biblical version, but about 200,000 years ago, there were these two humans who they bred, and we all have a little bit of their DNA in us. They weren't the first humans. There were other humans, lots of wannabe Adams and Eves running around, but these are the ones who survive in our DNA.
It's pretty fantastic to think about, isn't it? That all of us, literally the procreation of two creatures a zillion years ago, we are all the result of that. You said that we all, therefore, share, what is it, 99.5% of the DNA that you have is the same as I have, is the same as an Eskimo has, right?
Exactly. Some say it's even higher, 99.9%. But yeah, that's sort of the idea. And there is some evidence. It was a fascinating study at Harvard that last year where they took Palestinians and Israelis and they showed them how closely they're related. And when the people that they showed that were related were kinder to each other than the control group. So that is the hope. I mean, I don't expect this to end all wars because I have three sons and I see that they go at each other. They like scratch each other's eyes out. So, family does not always get along, but it gets along more than total strangers.
You went back and
that's part of the idea.
You went back and talked to the Hatfields and the McCoys too, which I thought was an interesting experiment. But this is the thing, though. So this all sounds fun and interesting and kumbaya. If we discover that we're all closer related, then maybe we'll be nicer to each other. But every step of the way you discovered was fraught with controversy. For instance, one way to trace your tree isn't just with the internet, but it's with these companies where you send a swab, and then they'll trace your tree and tell you where you're from, but also they'll tell you about your genetic history. And that gets to be very controversial because sometimes people discover things that they don't like to know, like there's a Nazi history in the family and they cooperated, or that they have a disease that maybe they could pass along to other people. And what do we do with that information? Talk a little bit about some of the controversies that erupt with all of this.
Yeah, DNA testing is fascinating and it's huge. Millions of people are doing it and it's got its benefits, but it's also got its risks. And there's one chapter in my book where I talk to this guy. He lived in the Midwest, and he had 8 siblings. And when they were adults, they all took these DNA tests and found that they were from 8 different
fathers. Yeah.
They all assumed it was the same father. So it's like a Maury Povich show to the nth degree. And what was it really interesting is some of them took it better than others. To me, the real hero of the story is the father, who actually was not the biological dad of any of them, but he treated them all as if they were his biological offspring.
And we don't know in the telling of that story in the book, you didn't say if the father, so think about that. This is a couple. They have 8 kids, all of them by different fathers. And all of the kids think that they're a nuclear family, that they are all of the same mother and father. Imagine if in your adulthood you found out that every one of your 7 siblings is only a half sibling, that they are of all different fathers. How would you feel about that? And when you asked the woman who had all of these kids if her husband knew that he was the father of none of them, she didn't say if he knew, right?
It was actually, it seems that he did know, because he did some strange things. Like he would introduce one of the sons to a man who turned out later to be the guy's dad. And the kid was like, "Why are you introducing me to him?" And he was like, "Well, you know, I just thought you'd be interested to meet him." So I think he knew, but yet he still did it. And there's so many of these fascinating stories coming up. There's an interesting one where a guy I write about in the book, he's a weatherman in Texas, and he finds his biological mom, he was given up for adoption. He's a gay man married to another man, and she's an evangelical Christian. So it was all of the, you know, does she accept him? And she, you know, it's got a happy ending. She learns to accept him. But I imagine not all of them are going to be happy.
I got a couple of texts here. I have many texts here. Let me just read a couple before I let you go. John, I've read every book that A.J. Jacobs has written, and one is better than the next. I love them all. He's terrific, terrific writer, funny as heck. I couldn't agree with you more. I've read them all. No. You know, I have a list of names here in front of me. Oliver Sacks, Malcolm Gladwell, Bill Bryson. These are all my favorite authors. They're people who tell me how the world works, and I'm always enchanted and entranced by what they write. You're in that group.
Oh, my goodness.
But what you do that's different is you make it personal and funny. You have a whimsical way of relating extraordinary amounts of information. This book is a personal journey of yours, but it's also really informative. And that's a gift, AJ. You're a lot of fun.
Oh, you are the best. I always love coming on. And now I think I should come on every day because it's so good for my ego. I feel great now.
Well, how is your wife, Julie? So in all of these things, like the know-it-all, you write the know-it-all. It's about you reading every word in A through Z of an Encyclopedia Britannica. It's a Herculean task. It can't be done. You're carrying around the S volume for weeks at a time. And not only is it burdensome to you and your family that you're always distracted or carrying around volumes of encyclopedias, but you won't shut up. Now you're the most annoying guy in the room because something comes up and you go, "You know, I just learned X, Y, and Z." And your wife goes through these things with you time and again. I want to meet her.
She is a saint. A lot of people say it, and I agree. I will say that one of my books, The Year of Living Biblically, is going to be a sitcom on CBS starting in February, and the actress who plays my wife is very attractive, as is my wife, but this woman is 2 inches taller than Julie, and Julie has always had this thing about being short, so she is very excited to be taller, at least on screen.
In The Year of Living Biblically, you decided to follow the tenets of all the major religions for a year. Do I remember that correctly? Judaism, but then you also explored Catholicism and Hinduism and all of those, right?
Actually, I never got into Hinduism. It was mostly just the Bible, the Judeo-Christian. But yeah, both Old and New Testament.
I was exhausted for her I was exhausted for her when you got done with that experiment. A.J. Jacobs' book is called It's All Relative, Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree. And the fun thing about the book, too, is it's punctuated along the way by the 52 weeks of planning you went through to plan the family reunion. My time's up, A.J. I've got to run. But did you break the world record for the largest family reunion?
Yes. Not to spoil it, but I broke that I had the most people around the world in one reunion.
Oh,
I didn't have the most people in one place.
Your reunion was to reunions what Donald Trump's inauguration was. It wasn't to inaugurations. It wasn't the most people in one place, but if you include the internet, it was, right?
I have never been compared to Donald Trump a reunion, so, but... Yeah, you make it. You make a good point.
I'll let you have that.
I'm not a fan, but you make a good point.
Come to Chicago sometime. Are you going to be in our city anytime soon, AJ?
I don't have plans, but next time I'm there, I would love to see you. And I promise next time you have me on, I'll have a better microphone.
Come to WGN Radio. Don't go on the Steve Cochran Show. Don't go on with Bill and Wendy. Don't go on with Justin Kaufman. Don't go on with Ro Khan. Come on with me, John Williams, okay?
I hate all of those guys.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Well done, AJ. We'll visit again.
Thank you, John.
Bye now.